You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Like the man said, it's hard to go wrong when you're right. This is the Phil Williams Right Side Radio Show. Phil is out today. I'm Ray Melick. I'm the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, along with Brian Dawson, CEO of 1819 News. Happy to be with you here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. You can join the conversation 866-494-9866 or 866-494-WVNN. But right now, we're joined by Justin Bogey, who is the Senior Director of Fiscal Policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. And Justin, I got to tell you, I was listening to House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter Saturday, who said that Alabama is in better shape financially than probably any time in the history of the state. We have the largest budgets in history with $200 million in tax cuts. Is that a good thing?
In this case, I would say no. And we've heard a lot of this from our state leadership, you know, our legislative leadership. Record budgets like this is a good thing. But really what a record budget reflects is that the government is expanding faster than it than ever has at any point in history. They're taking more money from taxpayers than at any point in history. The state took in about $1.5 billion in new revenue last year. That's more money coming out of all of our pockets, you know, whether that be through income tax or sales tax or, you know, some of the other taxes. They had a $1.8 billion surplus total to start the year. And, you know, $200 million in tax cuts, you know, I guess that's better than nothing. But when you have a $1.8 billion surplus, it's really not a whole lot. And most of the things that they're looking at in this $200 million are, you know, not going to help a lot of people.
You know, it strikes me funny because it's such a it always sounds good until you kind of put the picture together. Mm-hmm. But we hear Republican legislatures talking about this great spending and saying this is due to our conservative budget approach. There's something that doesn't quite...
Yeah, there's a disconnect there. I don't know how you can say that spending more money than at any point in state history and taking more tax revenues than at any point in state history is conservative. And, you know, we had this big change in leadership of the legislature back in 2010 when it flipped to Republicans. And, you know, for a few years, it seemed like they were going to be more conservative. They were going to be better on fiscal policy. But now they're really spending at a faster rate than Democrats ever did. So, you know, again, I don't know how you can say that's conservative fiscal policy. They have boosted state savings. We haven't had proration, but some of that's because of economic factors that were outside of government. And then a lot of it in the last few years has been because of the federal government has thrown tens of billions of dollars at the state of Alabama. So when you're getting that much money from the federal government, of course, your numbers are going to look pretty good.
Couple of issues there, but I want to talk about the first one, the rainy day funds for both the general budget and the education trust fund. Because part of me says, hey, if we're taking in money, let's put this in a rainy day fund, which, you know, if you're a good house owner or just family man, you try to have that rainy day fund for when something goes wrong. So why is that wrong? You know, what's the problem here with saying, well, we're going to take this money and we got to keep hoarding this for the future?
Yeah, I think and some people might not say this is a problem, but I'd look at it this way. We haven't used the rainy day funds in 10 years. I think 2012 was the last time that either one had to be tapped into. We've set up some new savings accounts, but when you're taxing citizens more than you need to, you know, when are you going to have an opportunity to even use those rainy day funds? If you're really doing conservative budgets, then you would run a risk of a revenue shortfall. If you're really trying to only spend what you need, what you take in, then you would have a bigger risk of a revenue shortfall, and you would need those funds. But between taking in more revenue and all of the federal money that's come in, that hasn't been the case. There's really been no need for a rainy day fund in the last decade.
And I think sometimes what we forget, and even us citizens sometimes forget, is where the money's coming from.
Exactly. You know, you hear these big numbers tossed around. They're spending $11 billion this year between the two budgets. A lot of people, that doesn't really resonate with them, and I get that. They don't do this, you know, look at these numbers every day. But what you need to remember is every dollar, single dollar that the state government is spending, that's money that's been taxed from you or business owners, or it's coming out of the pockets of Alabamians one way or the other. So, you know, we really should care what they're doing with the money, and we should be engaged on these issues.
You know, one of the things we've talked about, several, one I think that really gets people right now is the gas tax. We put that gas tax in that was a 10 cent immediate hit, and then it's like a penny every year.
Potentially every 2 years, and we could see another penny.
Yeah, I think that they said right now 28 cents of every gallon is state tax.
Right.
I've made the point, several people have, why not build in a cap where if gas gets over $3.75, $4 a gallon, you just suspend it for a while, because I could use that 28 cents a gallon.
Sure. I mean, that adds up over the course of, you know, several tanks of gas a month, depending on how much you're traveling. And I think that's absolutely a good idea. There's plenty of excess revenue there to do it. You know, as we just said, the state had a $1.5 billion revenue surplus. So, you know, they could suspend the gas tax for a few months, at least for several months, and really ease some of that pain. But nobody's really talking about doing that. There's been one bill introduced this session to suspend the future increases. It hasn't made it anywhere. And then last week, Governor Ivey was asked if she would be willing to suspend the gas tax. You know, Georgia and Florida are both looking at legislation to do that, I believe. And she basically flat out said no. You know, we have too many projects underway, and we can't afford to do that. But, you know, there's some funny things about the Alabama state budget where it's hard to move around money. But the bottom line is, if the legislature wanted to change laws and be able to move money around to cover that, they could.
And I think Michigan's another state that's brought up. They've suspended, and it's like 27, 28 cents a gallon for them as well. This has been going on. And then another issue that comes up but never seems to go anywhere is grocery taxes.
Right. And we've seen several bills this session to repeal the grocery tax. Some of them replace that revenue. Others would just do a flat-out repeal, which we think is the way to go. It costs, you know, $600 million or so a year. Again, with that $1.5 billion revenue surplus, you could suspend it for several years. You could get it. That would be the path to getting rid of it permanently. And unlike a lot of this $200 million we kept hearing about that's quote-unquote targeted, a grocery tax repeal would help everyone immediately. Everyone in Alabama has to eat. Everyone shops at grocery stores. And so with you know, I look today, and I think food prices are up over 7%, almost 7.5%. That would be an immediate benefit to everyone in Alabama, regardless of how rich, poor, you know, whatever you are. So that we're not talking about that when we have more revenue than ever is just really troubling and puzzling.
And I believe this is right. Grocery tax goes to education, correct?
Yeah, it's normal. Most of the regular sales tax goes to education, so most of the grocery tax is going to the education budget.
So, but don't we need to help our poor kids in education?
Well, you know, education budgeting through 2019 through 2022 was up 35%. So you're talking about a massive increase in education funding. And, you know, unfortunately, we haven't really seen great results from that. We're spending a lot more money now than we were 10 or 12 years ago. And our rankings in math and reading scores have actually dropped. You know, a couple of years ago, we were dead last in math, whereas in 2010, we were kind of in the low to mid 40s, which, you know, isn't great either, but
looks good right now.
Yeah, looks better than 52nd. So, you know, at some point you have to ask, what are we getting for our money? Why do we keep throwing more money into education when we're not seeing different results? You know, there has to be some other way to improve education in Alabama. And then, you know, you look at things like this Parents' Choice Act that would have given a lot more freedom to students to go to whatever kind of classroom, whether that be private, public, whatever, that really suits their learning needs. And it's really gotten nowhere so far. So again, money's not fixing this problem. So at some point you have to ask, you know, what else do we need to do? And when does it stop?
You know, Justin, and I know you sort of look at, and we're talking to Justin Bogue, Senior Director of Fiscal Policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. One of the things on money and education, the teachers in this state are starting salary is higher than any of the states around us. I was in a budget presentation by the Legislative Services at the Education Committee. our salaries for teachers with masters is in the top three of all the states around us. So teachers are getting paid. Mm-hmm. I guess that's it. And yet I know of teachers who still say they have to come out of their own pockets for classroom supplies for kids in their classroom that don't have it. Where's the money? If it's not getting down to the classroom, where's all this money going?
Yeah, and I think there is a slight increase for classroom expenditures in this year's budget. But there's also a 4% pay raise in this year's budget on top of a 2% pay raise in last year's budget. So a lot of it's going to that. About half of this education, this $1.3 billion education surplus, is being used for capital projects. So that's, you know, basically construction and kind of IT projects. But the state government already received a bunch of federal stimulus money that can go towards that. So they're for some reason they're deciding to use that carryover balance this year for more of those kinds of projects. So again, it really doesn't make sense. And you know, I don't know how many people in the private sector have really gotten raises in the last couple of years. You know, maybe that's starting to change a little bit now, but again, public sector has seen a 6% pay raise in 2 years. And meanwhile, state government's not really doing a whole lot to help the private sector.
And it's one of those things that I've heard you say before. We've always begun to say this. It's not about giving money back to the citizens. It's just about taking less to start with.
Exactly. And, you know, we've talked about it, and I don't want to use the federal government as a good example of anything, but when you overpay your federal taxes, you get a refund. And instead, in Alabama, it looks like instead of giving or taking less money in the future from citizens when they have this extra excess revenue, that they want to use it to expand government. And you know, really, the last 4 years, we're seeing the biggest expansion of state government in history. And I think most Alabamians who consider themselves fiscally conservative are not in favor of a bigger government. So it's a question of what they're doing.
Stay with us, because when we get back, I want to say that the feds just passed a new budget with a bunch more money coming back to Alabama. I know you've got a view on that, so I want to talk to you when we get back, if we can, a little bit about that as well. This is Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Ray Mellick, Brian Dawson sitting in for Phil Williams. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Phil Williams normally in this chair, but this is Ray Mellick from 1819 News, along with Brian Dawson. And we're talking with Justin Bogie, the Senior Director of Fiscal Policy for the Alabama Policy Institute, which is one of the premier conservative think tanks in the country. A lot of the conservative think tanks around the country, every state has one now, but a lot of that started with the work of API and helping get that network started. Justin, we were talking about the state budget, but the feds just passed after another omnibus bill, I guess it is. Nobody passes a budget anymore. I don't think a true budget's passed in 10 or 12 years.
Since it made all the way through the process.
I think it's back to 2009 with all the appropriations bills. I know we've got a column that API is putting out that will run tomorrow on 1819news.com where you'll be able to see it. But we all think federal money coming back to the state, and Richard Shelby has been great for Alabama, if you believe bringing federal money back to the state's good. But there's also another side to that, and I like you just talking about a little bit about this budget and what it does and doesn't do.
Yeah, so Congress just approved a $1.5 trillion spending bill. That's for the rest of 2022. It took them 5 months into the year to even pass a spending bill. And that's not all of the money that the federal government spends. They spend trillions of dollars more aside from that. But yeah, there's this mentality that bringing money back to Alabama is great. But really, you know, at some point there are diminishing returns, especially right now. Federal spending has increased like 63% in the last 2 years. They spent over $7 trillion last year. And, you know, right now we're seeing 7.5% inflation. The Federal Reserve interest rates are at an all-time low. Those things combined, putting more money into the economy, low interest rates, that's what's driving inflation. And so we're all feeling the effects of that. And Congress passing another, you know, one of the largest discretionary budget bills ever, That's not helping that. And we're all going to continue to see that when we go to the grocery store, when we go buy other household supplies. You know, even we're seeing gas prices at you know, record highs. And so all of this federal spending is contributing to that. And you have to ask, you know, is this what we want from our Alabama's elected officials to really be driving that push for more spending? And just like at the state level, I would say probably not. Most of us want less government in our lives, not more. And that's exactly what this is doing.
One of the things that I don't think people understand either is that as high as the federal deficit is, $30 trillion, we'll just use a round number. Mm-hmm. If they raise interest, most people think, okay, to end inflation, you're going to have to raise interest rates. But if we raise interest rates, that's also going to affect the federal debt, which is actually, if I understand it correctly, will then exponentially increase that debt amount.
You're exactly right, because you have to pay interest on all of that debt. And since interest rates have been so low for the past 2 or 3 years, that's actually helped the federal government spend a little bit less in interest costs. But you know, once rates go back up, they'll probably be spending over $1 trillion a year just on interest payments on the national debt. And just like we're talking about the state money, every dollar that the federal government spends is taxpayer money. It's all of our money, and we should care about it, because they can't keep this up forever. They can't just keep borrowing more money to spend more money. You know, eventually that debt's going to come due, and we're all going to be faced with higher tax rates to pay for it, most likely.
You know, and it really is a catch-22, because all of us appreciate the fact that Senator Shelby has looked after Alabama and brought a lot of money back here, which equals jobs. And, and you know, we've seen Redstone Arsenal and the Port of Mobile and all this. And if it's going to go somewhere, it might as well go here. But the problem is, it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah. This isn't, you know, I'm not saying that he's bad for bringing money into the state of Alabama if everyone's getting money. But we need to look at limiting the federal budget on the whole, and everybody having less money to, you know, divvy out and not be fighting for this larger share, because it's really gotten out of control. When you're $30 trillion in debt and you're passing, you know, another record spending bill, the biggest spending bill ever, that's a problem. And how long is that sustainable?
I think Terry Sewell and Representative Carl from Mobile were the only two that voted for this budget from the Alabama House.
From the House delegation, and then Shelby and Senator Tuberville both voted for it as well.
Yeah, and really the House has the purse strings and control, that sort of thing. So it really is incumbent. But it's interesting that you expect Terry Sewell, a Democrat. I mean, and I don't think she's a particularly liberal Democrat by Democratic standards, but nevertheless, she's going to vote with the party on that. A little surprised, although I know I understand it helps the Port of Mobile, that Representative Carl would kind of buck this the Alabama team on that vote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he claimed that he was bringing $1 billion to South Alabama, money for the Port of Mobile, and he also pointed out transportation projects. But the interesting thing about that is, you know, we passed this 10-cent gas tax increase a couple years ago. There's money from that that's already dedicated to the Port of Mobile, and obviously it's supposed to go to a lot of these local transportation projects. So, you know, do we really need another $1 billion or however much of it was for those projects to get to South Alabama?
That's Justin Bogie. He is the Senior Director of Fiscal Policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. You can read more from the API in a editorial op-ed that will be in 1819news.com tomorrow, talking about the federal budget and this recent omnibus bill to fund the government that just passed. And all about that is 1819news.com. Justin, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me today.
We'll be right back after this with Right Side Radio.